Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 24, Potluck Beers. We ask that you respect the laws, drink responsibly, all the stuff that means you don't die. I'm your host, Derek Schomer. I have with me today Doug and Dave. Both of us, we're mourning Kate, only because she's sick. And has everybody here been sick already? Is everybody done this yet?
Yep.
Because I'm so sick of being sick, if that can be said that way. But I mean, dude, I've been awfully sick. Couple weeks ago, the flu, like nasty flu, like the shakes when you go to bed, then you wake up and you felt like you didn't sleep at all. So when Kate, our plan was we were gonna do Scotch whiskey. So hopefully Kate's gonna be better for next week, and we could do Scotch whiskey next week because it's mighty important we do that. And I want her to be involved with the Scotch whiskey episode, mainly because me and Dave, we might not show the best of faces for the Scotch whiskey episode. So we want to make sure we have at least two people to balance out our dry heaving, and that means we need Kay for that. So what we thought we'd do is roll into, you know, short notice, like literally 10 minutes. What are we going to do? We decided we're going to do whatever got in our refrigerator. And it turned out that most of us have beer. And so that's just how it's going to be.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. We got beer. Actually, I've got one of everything, but it came down to timing. I didn't feel like mixing a margarita, which was really close to what I was going to do. I was going to do a jalapeno margarita, but I don't know. I've been drinking a lot of beer tonight. I've already had three or so.
Just sounds kind of wrong.
Oh, it's not actually that bad. The Tantio.
Really?
There's a new company called Tantio Tequilas that is based out of New York that's had been shipping. So if you're in New York, you might be able to find this Tantio. It's an infused tequila. There's chocolate, there's jalapeno, and there's tropical. So far, I've reviewed the chocolate and the jalapeno. The chocolate also has jalapenos in it, but it's not as hot. The jalapeno one, I was very surprised on. It's almost like something a margarita you can drink with a meal. Like a spicy meal, I could totally have like a burrito or some chips and salsa with this thing, because it's hot like a jalapeno, but not burning. So you don't get that.
Your beer?
Yeah, no. This is a tequila I had just got shipped in from Tantio. It's
Jesus Christ.
It's really cool.
I mean, maybe I'm just getting to become like a cranky old man, but I sort of like tequila flavored tequila.
No, it is tequila flavored.
like coffee flavored coffee.
No, dude, this is tequila.
Or milk flavored milk. Right.
No, you're just a hater. No, listen, it's a Blanco tequila. It smells like tequila. It also smells like jalapeno peppers. And when I'm going to be honest with you, when I first took, I was reviewing it and I smelled the margarita I made and I was like, I don't know, man. This might not fly. Like, I thought for a second I was going to have to give my first really not good review. And I took a sip and I was like, wow, it tastes like a margarita, but a little spicy. And the chocolate one, not really too much chocolate, very raw chocolate, more than sweet chocolate, with a little hint of like the peel of the jalapeno. And it was good. And it was good to the point where you don't feel like it took away from the tequila and it didn't add too much to destroy it. So I was actually pleasantly surprised. So I'll have to have Dave try that out, because I know I need somebody who is a tequila snob to tell me yes or no, because I thought no and then I chased it and I was like, yeah, this works.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
So what do you guys got to drink for our potluck beers? Pull whatever you got out of your refrigerator, hopefully not your freezer, because that beer will not be good. What are you drinking?
Okay, so I have the Red Hook Longhammer IPA out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Red Hook is out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and do they have Seattle? Is it Seattle, Washington?
I think Seattle is where they're originally founded. I remember reading this. I was reading it's a book. It's the Great American Beer, the History of Great American Beer. And Red Hook was one of the guys that kind of came around Boston Brew Company or Sam Adams, and they kind of came out of nowhere in Seattle and managed to be able to, you know, get their distribution channels out all the way to the other coast. It's funny because a lot of, if you look back at the past of American beer, there's a lot of beers that just didn't make it. There were some good microbrews that when it was, you know, the time when people didn't like American beers, or because they didn't have something that they didn't have, what was it? It was kind of like they didn't have the boutique feel to them, that people were drinking imports because
boutique.
Boutique, what did I say? Boutique?
Yeah.
No. Well, they didn't have like the high class standards to them that some of these imported beers had. So, you know, a lot of breweries folded. And of course, Budweiser and a few others survived because they had invested in their future and bought a ton of breweries and they were just pushing out beers. And then, you know, Red Hook and a couple of these guys that were either had ingenious marketing plans managed to come out of nowhere, especially like Sam Adams, and they did a lot of contract. They would buy people's this portions of people's breweries that weren't used so that they could brew their beers, and you know, all their opponents were attacking them because they didn't, they weren't a brewer because they didn't have their own brew house. They were using everybody else's. But you know, who cares? I, as long as it's a good beer, I don't freaking care where you brew the damn thing. That's my opinion. Anybody ever tell me where Ipswich is? I still don't know.
Ipswich?
Yeah. Like Ipswich. Oh, Mass.
Yeah, that's Mass.
Okay, so it's around here.
It's North Shore.
Okay.
Or North Shore.
You know. North Shore?
Right.
North Shore.
So yours is the Red Hook Longhammer?
Yeah, it's a Longhammer IPA. I will say that the most interesting thing, though, that I've noticed on the label thus far is the fact that it actually only says Portsmouth, New Hampshire on it, which prior labels will always say Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and then Seattle, Washington. And so I'm wondering if they've decided to more regionalize their labels. And so if, you know, you're getting East Coast Red Hook, you're going to get the label that says Portsmouth. And then if you're on the left coast, you get the label that says Seattle. That's pretty cool.
That would make sense marketing wise because I don't know about you guys, but like, don't you feel like some sort of pride for the beer that you get at home that you can't maybe get anywhere else, even though you can get Red Hook everywhere?
Can I say how freaking stoked I was the first time that I saw a Smutty Nose beer in a South Carolina liquor store?
It's like a success story. It's like, you gotta like, have
oh
this.
Oh my God. Smutty Nose made it all the way down to South fucking Carolina. How did that happen?
Success, my friends. It's gonna take, you know what it is though? It's not just, from what I've read in some of the history, it's not really just that they make a good beer and that they make it local, but they've got to pasteurize it. Then they got to get trucks and they got to get distribution chains, which is really tough because you got to find these people that are willing to distribute it. And if they don't know who you are, what do you have to go on? What is your branding that you're going to be saying you want to buy mine because it's so cool because of this? There's nothing. So you really got to work really hard to get yourself known, and especially if you're a nobody. You know, it's not the same as saying, well, I want Bud. Well, Bud can get anything they want, and you're going to have to share shelf space. So people are a little more.
They can get anywhere they want.
Right.
Because they're already everywhere.
Exactly. And you got to expand your brew house. You got to get your shipping. It's a lot of crap. And you know what? I think that there's a big chance that you could actually just go under. You know, if you decide to expand too far, you could just crumble under your own weight.
Oh, yeah.
So to make it out that far and still be around is good. For me, Smutty Nose is like, well, yeah, everybody's got that. But that's just me.
Not so much down here. It's cool to find Smutty Nose. You know, from being up there, finding a Smutty Nose in the store is, it's kind of a, you know, it's a big deal, man.
That's like if you were to go in Florida and all of a sudden a Dunkin' Donuts arrived. You'd be like, holy crap, I'm gonna get a donut and a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts because I haven't had this in a while.
No, that's what it was like in North Carolina.
Oh.
It was pretty freaky. There's actually Dunkin' Donuts in, like, Seoul, Korea and Manila. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why they picked that place. Like, out of everywhere. How about
near
Kansas?
Military bases.
So they're just preying off of the Americans need their Americanized food.
Exactly.
Foodstuffs while fattening up the population around them. It's beautiful.
So good that we contribute to the rest of the world that way. You know?
Yeah, I know. We contribute fats per square foot. That's great. That's awesome. So yours is an IPA, 6.5% alcohol by volume. That's a good IPA. I was going to bring up an IPA, but then I heard you had one, and I didn't want to stomp on your grounds, you know? I want to get in your grill.
What?
No, I had a choice between Ipswich IPA and Ipswich Ale, because I have a bunch of Ipswich beers. It was like a combo pack, and I decided to go with the Ale, mainly because I had the IPA on Friday, and I found that their Ale is a little hoppy for me. At least, I don't know if it's too hoppy for me. I've had a lot worse and a lot hoppier, but it was more hoppy than I would have expected from an IPA. I'm expecting more like, here's some alcohol, now I'm going to punch you in the face with it. I just didn't get that. You know, IPAs is supposed to be a higher intense alcohol, so you can travel to India and not ever have to worry about your beer going bad. Or if you're a pirate, not that I'm either. But if I was a pirate.
We know this. No. The IPA, it's not necessarily about alcohol content. I think that's a side effect of what they're trying to accomplish with what they have to balance, but it's the amount of hops that they put in.
Right.
You can't put like 20 million pounds of hops in something that like has no malt in it. So by default, they have to malt the shit out of it.
And it poops out the alcohol.
Yeah, it inadvertently makes a high alcohol content beer to balance the hops that preserve the beer for the trip.
And that's true. But my argument
that was on one breath.
You're gonna pass out. Got.
But oh my god, I'm lightheaded.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. Then I don't even know if it's really devil's advocate. But now that we don't have to make long trips, we still make IPAs, but the way, like, for instance, the Ipswich IPA was pretty hoppy. So if I was to say get an IPA in England on a trip across the seas back in the 1400s, the IPA might be a little hoppy at home. I don't know. But I think that you're still going to get a malty beer and it's going to grow in alcohol throughout your trip. This seems to me like what they're doing is they're destroying the nature, the essence of what the IPA is by overhopping it, because that's not a traditional, like, purposeful built IPA. Now they're flavor built IPA, but we have other drinks that have flavors and hops. No?
Shit. Okay. I'll give you that.
I mean, that's just the common man's approach. Like, I'm just looking at it from a heritage point of view more than just like a recipe.
No. So what you're saying is, in this day and age where we don't necessarily have to use the hops to preserve the beer because of modern technology.
Oh, the malt, yeah.
When we hop a beer, it's more for a zing and flavor than function.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But I
think that's an acute observation of the current IPA beer market. Yet we're not doing it, you know, so we can preserve the shit. We're doing it, you know, or people are doing it to have the hoppiest beer.
Right.
Actually, I see a lot of that.
I see over hops.
Hop overkill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, Dave, you don't like hops, right?
It's not my favorite. Like, IPA is not my favorite kind of beer in general. And I just find that the hops have too much of a bite, I guess, is the only way I can put it. And I don't really care for it as much. I like a little bit smoother of a beer in general.
Right. So you'll never get that out of the wheat. So at least I've never seen one where I've never had a wheat beer where I'm like, oh my god, this is overhopped.
No, you don't. And I drink bitters and stuff too, and it's not.
Right. And if so, for me, and everything I've tried from Ipswich, like I don't know. I just can't find a beer that is. I mean, besides a darker beer, they're always hopped.
For me, it's like a Dogfish Head is another one.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do those.
I like any a good balance.
I haven't tried all of them, but the ones that I've tried have been pretty harsh for me.
Yeah, I will say that the 90-minute IPA is, for me, like top three beers all time. Their 90-minute IPA is just, it's a phenomenal beer.
What makes it 90 minutes?
That's how long they boil it.
Oh, okay, so there is a recipe part to their beer.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have the 90-minute, the 120-minute, 120, and then the 60-minute, and it all corresponds to alcohol content. So the 120 is 12, the 90 is 9, the 60 is 6. They had their winter barley wine, which was 15%.
Yeah, that's traditionally high.
It was so good. It was so good. And there was like only one beer store around here that I found that actually had it, and I bottom out.
Well, that's a low, not a low yield. It's not like it's a wine, but I guess it kind of is. It's a low production drink because there's only a limited population that's going to consume a barley wine, let alone even know what the fuck that is. So the only barley wines I've had, I've maybe had one real production barley wine. The rest have been my limited supply of barley wines have always been home brews, which it's hard to beat a home brew, especially when somebody knows what they're doing. So my experience with barley wines is very much classic traditional homebrew style, not a mass market. I mean, even that would be, in my opinion, a mass market. Anybody who's got a vat that can, you know, brew enough beer to satisfy a large city, in my opinion, is mass market enough that making a specialized drink is, I don't really know what they get out of it besides the respect from the drinkers and those that drink it. But I guess it's the creative outlet. Like most breweries that I've seen, even like a Flying Dog, where they just go out of their way each year to come up with something different, something that they don't normally do, just to be, you know, maybe not to show it off and go, ha, look what we can make, but to show it to themselves and be like, dude, this is what we made. This is what we're proud of. Here, try this in limited quantities or whatnot. And maybe even it's like a get-together that's at their brewery or whatever, and you only get it around the town. But it's still nice to see that. It kind of keeps the heritage kind of going, which is kind of neat. Now, what I did is I went with the Ipswich Ale. It's the original ale, and I poured it. It looks like cider, dude. It's kind of got some sediment in the bottom, which is kind of weird, but it's like cider. I thought it was going to be clear. And it's not,
really?
Yeah, it's not old either. I don't know. That's weird.
That sounds funky, man. Now, I don't know if you should be drinking that.
Have you had a tetanus shot recently?
Why do I always end up with sediment on my beer? No, it's got carbonation. Good carbonation.
No. But seriously, have you had a tetanus shot lately?
I've had, plenty of tetanus shots. I always cut myself. My beer is fine. It's just a little cloudy. I think that's okay. Maybe it's, I mean, why wouldn't an ale be cloudy, you know? It can happen. Now, I also have, I brought with me, you guys ever have Julius Echter?
Sure.
What?
Julius Echter. It's a big-ass bottle, Hefeweizen or Hefeweiss.
No.
Wheat ale from Lower Germany, Bavaria.
Meh, no.
No?
Yeah,
if it's a Hefeweiss, I wouldn't be into it anyway, so.
Well, it's got some hops, it says, on the label. This was actually, I got a case of this because I fixed somebody's Vista system and they went out and bought a whole box of this, the Julius Echter, because they liked it and they thought I'd like it because I'm into beer and it's good. So I've got that. That's definitely cloudy. So all my beers are kind of cloudy. But you know what? That's okay. I'm okay with that. Dave, what are you drinking?
Dave.
Yeah, so speaking of cloudy, I'm drinking this beer. Well, the first one is called Cooper's Brewery Sparking. Yeah, if I can get it
Sparky.
Out.
Sparky.
How many are you drinking?
Cooper's Brewery is
Sparkling Brewery Ale. Hold on. Sparky Wine.
You got a retard talking over you.
Sparky.
Hey, Corky. What was that again, Dave?
It's Sparkly. Cooper's Brewery Sparkling Ale.
Sparkling
Ale.
Interesting thing is, so I drink a lot of cloudy beers.
Yeah, you do.
This is some cloudy beer, but it's not in the same way. Like, you know, normally wheat beer, it's cloudy. You can't see through it.
That's what cloudy
you
means.
You can still see through this, but it's got like this sea monkey action going on.
Oh, like I have. Like little weird things floating around.
Well, it's like little bits instead of like just a haze. It's very strange.
Okay, so that sounds pretty much like my ale.
I've had this stuff before in Australia, and I saw it here, and I was like, "Oh, cool! I'll pick it up." But I don't think it's the same stuff.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
So what makes it sparkling?
Carbonation, I guess. I don't know.
Did
you say Australia?
Yeah.
It's a place down under.
Like a Vegemite.
There's no Vegemite in it. Sorry.
There might be. Did you check?
The thing that I picked up when I was down there was that everyone thinks that I think VB is kind of the beer in Australia, Victoria Bitter.
Okay.
I thought it was Foster's.
No, actually, I didn't see any.
Learn to Australia.
Yeah, that's kind of the common one. Foster's is the national beer of the Outback restaurant, apparently.
Yeah, they don't
but
drink
no,
that
you
there.
Don't really see it very much down there. Each
what? Are you telling me they're lying to me?
They are.
Fuck.
And
get the fuck
Dundee
out.
Is animated. Really? He doesn't exist.
And the Outback.
Motherfucker.
They probably don't even have an Outback in the Outback. It's probably all American.
Actually, I saw that on Pimp Your Ride. Yeah, some dude was from Australia. He was into the Outback.
The real one?
Yeah, so they put an Outback in his Outback, so they, you know.
So
could be in the Outback.
We actually made it through an entire episode.
What was that, Dave?
I said you actually made it through an episode of Pimp My Ride.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was drunk.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. I'll give you that.
So what is this? I can't even say what the other beer is you have.
So the other one is called Delirium Nocturnum. It's a Belgian ale. It's a dark ale, though. It's by the same people who make this other one that I love called Delirium Tremont, which is, if you're going through alcohol withdrawal and you get the shakes,
what happens to
basically the term for it is Delirium Tremont. And the bottle has a pink elephant on the front of it, which is just a great mark.
And this is Nocturum, so that means you sleep a lot or you don't?
No, it just means it's, you know, night, so it's dark.
Oh, it's like a dark ale.
Oh,
I guess.
It's a dark ale.
I was thinking
which
Nocturnal Emission.
I haven't opened yet, but I'm working my way through. The bottle is cool. It's like a, it looks like pottery almost. It's opaque. It's whitish, like grayish.
Opaque.
And
that's a big word.
The thing is, they put this really friggin' annoying foil over the top of it.
So you can't drink it.
Peel back. It's set up like a champagne bottle where you have the wires coming down off of the cork.
Oh, yeah. So you got to twist it, and well, you got to take out the foil, then you got to twist it, then you got to pop it off.
There's some possibility I'm going to wear this. We'll see how it goes. I'm working my way through the wire bits right now.
The wire bits.
Okay,
so you need a screwdriver?
I got the top off. That's good. So now I've got to pop the cork out without wearing it, and that's the interesting bit. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Whoa, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
Sound like a shotgun just went off.
Yeah, best that sound effect ever.
Behind it.
Dude, I'd get one. I drink those every night if I could get an explosion like that.
Oh, smells awesome. Mm. All right.
Unless you're Doug, because Doug can't stand Belgian ale.
Yeah, but this is a dark one, so it's kind of
interesting. It's hidden. Apparently, it's hit or miss.
I've
had so many now, and there have been quite a number that I've enjoyed. But at the same time, there have been quite a number that I hate.
So what you're saying is you don't want to take a risk on a Belgian ale because you're afraid you're going to get one you hate, not one that you can just mildly tolerate.
No, but see, that's the thing. I have no fear, and so I end up getting a lot of Belgian beer that I don't like.
You have no fear. You're an everyday drinker. That's our motto. We just drink everything. It's like drinking herpes. We would take whatever it is, we're going to try it. Doesn't matter the repercussions.
Not drink herpes, so
I mean the extreme.
I've not really seen it in liquid form anyways, unless Tommy Lee is bottling stuff.
No, I was just trying to build a symbolic chain of events which would match our desire to just try all alcohols. I did a bad job. I apologize up front or at the back.
This stuff looks pretty badass. Let's see how it is. It smells sweet.
That's weird. Maybe it's all the wheat sugars.
It is sweet. Weird.
Does it taste like awesome?
Not sure yet. I was sort of expecting it to taste a little bit like there's this Brazilian beer I drink called Xingu.
Doesn't sound Brazilian.
It's like a black sweet beer. It's really pretty kick-ass, but this is more reddish.
Like Killian's?
Take Killian's and turn the lights off a little bit. Like it's a lot darker than Killian's.
So like Guinness Red? Have you ever had Guinness
Red? Somewhere in between.
Blood.
Like a dark amber.
Cranberry juice. Wait.
It's almost dark amber. Actually. If you hold it up to the light, it's got...
Really?
Not quite that purple, but yeah, it's
that's kind of weird.
It is.
Raspberry liqueur.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
What do they use to for the sugar? Is it straight malt or do they use candy sugar?
This is where it gets interesting because their webpage is in Flemish. Which is... It's sort of French, enough that I can read it somewhat, but hang on.
We have a French last name, so...
It's sort of French, but it's sort of...
Flemish.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It doesn't really go into what it's doing, but it's strong.
They don't have
it's
pictures?
It's 8.5%, which is nice.
I think maybe it's just malts.
I would guess, yeah.
You like a shit ton of malts. I could deal with that. Hey, you know what I do?
They have a great beer called La Guillotine, too.
Whoa!
Great name.
That's
and there's another one... If you scroll down on the page, it's
La Guillotine.
It's like trashy looking elf chick with like you know, like the whorish Santa outfit going on called
Hold
La
on.
Mère Noël.
There's no such thing as a trashy looking elf chick. Elf chicks are supposed to be trashy looking.
Oh, okay. And there's also Delirium Christmas, which has a pink elf.
Oh my god, you're into Santa. Link.
Whoa. Right. oh whoa. Hey, did I tell you guys I went to Germany?
No.
Dude, it was a good time. Got some... You know what they... It was... This kind of weird. Now, if you've never been to Hamburg, Germany... So, check this out. Have you been to Hamburg, Dave?
haven't actually. I've been through, I think, but I haven't spent any time there.
There's so when my father went to Germany, he was outside of Frankfurt a little ways, and he's like, you know what? All they have is wheat beer. I'm like, what do you mean all they have is wheat beer? I know they have, for a fact, they have more than wheat beer in Germany. It's like, no, they have wheat beer. So no. I get there. They didn't have any wheat beer. I was like, what? What do you mean? They have Pilsner. They had Holsten. Holsten was like the big beer there. Big, like, cool glasses. Like, it looks like a wine glass, almost like a red wine glass with a white wine curvature to the top, like a bulbous. And everything, of course, had the label on it. And, you know, it was all Pilsners. They were all about the Pilsners. To find a wheat beer was extremely tough to do. I went to the musical Tarzan, which is playing right now in Hamburg, and they have... If you go
Wait. Let's all just take a moment to enjoy that image.
Well, I saw Tarzan. It's a musical.
It's just very strange. Well, just that there's a musical Tarzan in Germany. I just think that's funny.
Well, the thing is, besides trying to grab culture, I'm trying to absorb the language and everything since I speak a little German and I'm trying to practice. Perfect, because they talk kind of slow and there's music involved, so you can. I picked up probably 90% of it. But it was a good time. But the thing I noticed differently, besides they have more legroom, if you go to Boston and you go into most of the musical play areas, theaters, whatever you want to call them, they have those little mini bars, you know, like the ones you can buy at the billiard store during the wintertime, the $1,000 bar tables that are just like a little bar for one person to stand at, like one bartender, and like five beers and then a couple bottles of wine. Not in Germany, man. They have three full-length bars, like the size of bigger bars than you'd see in a bar, like in a pub, right? Like, full-length. And they're packed.
I would guess you'd need some heavy drinking to get through a Tarzan musical.
Dude, it was awesome. But that's, really? Yeah, it was awesome. But that was the only place I could find a wheat beer, and it was in a bottle. Like everything was in a bottle, I guess. But their Holsten beer is a Hamburg beer, so... Everything, if you go to a bar and you just ask for a Pilsner, you're going to get this. If you just ask for a beer, you're going to get this. And I thought it was kind of neat that we don't have that, per se. We have, like, Sam Adams, but Sam Adams has, like, 50 different beers. So even if you go and say, I want a Sam Adams, they might be like, well, you want the seasonal one? Do you want the ale? You want the Boston Lager? You want this? They have just, like, Pilsner. Very simple, very traditional. But it was cool, and they all come in their own separate glasses. And that kind of made me, and I got a new glass. It's a Hamburg Bierstein. It's a glass one. Pretty cool. Cost me €9. Not a bad deal at the airport. What do you guys think of custom beer glasses for the style of drink? Because I was just having this argument with my father tonight. You know, there's the wheat glasses, there's Pilsner glasses, there's different style of glasses for different styles of beers.
Yeah.
Do you guys follow, like, do you try to stick a wheat beer in a wheat beer glass, or do you just go with whatever the fuck you could find? If it could be a Dixie cup, for all that matters.
I use old pickle jars.
That's quite hickish.
I don't, actually. I know what you're talking about, because I used to do stuff in, like, Belgium and Germany, and it's almost required that each beer comes in its own thing, right, with its own logo and all that. I bought the biggest, baddest, like, heaviest pint glasses I could find. Like, these things you could pretty much throw at a wall and it wouldn't break, and I used those for everything.
You don't make any effort at all to try and get it in the glass that the artist, the brewer, decides this is the glass that this beer is made for.
No, because I don't think it makes a difference.
No, that's definitely a European thing, which, you know, that's cool. I'm a huge proponent of drinking your beer from a glass. You know, you think you're a man by drinking out of the bottle, but at the same time, you're not, just because you're missing out on so much fucking awesomeness that is beer. I have recently fallen in love with drinking it out of the white wine glass O's.
O's?
Yeah. You know, like it's just the goblet portion of the wine glass.
So stemless. Stemless glasses.
Yeah.
Okay. I know where you're going with that. So you drink your beer out of stemless wine glasses.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just clarifying. And so would you say that it sounds like you're going more with what Dave does, is you find a glass that you feel personally comfortable with and can relate to, and that's the glass you use for everything.
Meh, yeah.
See, now, what?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know if there's any... There's supposedly some scientific ideas to why a specific glass, especially, I would guess, with the wheat glasses, because they're like the bulbous on the bottom, so when you pour it in, like, that the head lands on the bottom and it kind of comes rushing through it, and the way the oxygen works, but it's not like a wine, right, where you need to oxidize it in order to get specific properties out of the... You're not aging it, but yet I still like... I guess I just enjoy the tradition more than the chemistry, if there is any. I drink my wheat out of, and maybe it's just because I have a fuck ton of glasses of every shape and size. That might, you know, if you have those, you might have more inclined to use the right one. For instance, I use the Wheat Glass. I have Wheat Glasses. You know, my Pilsners, I have Pilsner glasses. I have regular, like, Steins or just straight up regular beer glasses for everyday drinking. But
see, honestly, I think that as long as you have something with like a fairly wide base and some kind, not necessarily concentrated or a smaller circumference at the top than at the base, but any combination thereof will allow you to smell and imbibe the beer a little bit better.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. I mean, when you pour into a glass as opposed to keeping it in the bottle, you get, you know, you get the color of it and the visual aspect of it, but it just, you can smell it better, you know, and I think that's a big part of the taste.
It is. Because what people don't understand is when you're tasting a beer, a lot of it is actually just the nasal cavity, because when you put the beer in your mouth, the scent's still going through your nose, even though you've closed your mouth around the beer. So in the same properties work for wines and stuff. Like if you ever watch any of Wine Library TV's episodes, Gary Vaynerchuk is huge into when you drink, and he goes on ABC and NBC and all the Today shows and all these things, and the big thing he brings to the table is, look, you need to smell the wines. That should be the first thing you do. Everybody just wants to drink it, and that's it. You're really, and the same thing with beer. Somebody puts a lot of effort into their recipe. They're putting effort into all aspects of the recipe, the aromas, how the beer smells, how it tastes, like all the different dimensions of the beer. And you're only experiencing half of those if you just suck it down, especially out of a bottle. I mean, the bottle leaves nothing. You know, there's no scents that are coming out of the bottle. Now, if it's, let's say, a Budweiser, if it's a Coors, if it's any of the standard American Pilsners, which are pretty much watered-down, non-hopped, rice-based beers that have very little, I don't want to say flavor. They have a flavor. It's just, it's a consistent flavor, which is why they sell so well. But it's not something that you necessarily need to open up in a glass.
Well, there's a lot of beers like that, like you know, Rolling Rock or whatever, that are very mild tasting beers that I think for some people that's about the extent of the quote beer flavor they want to experience.
Exactly. You know? And I've had experiences like my it's weird because my family is all about, it's not necessarily just the beers, but every aspect of their drinking in is about the whole experience. It's not just about getting drunk. The end result
is about the prison time. It's about
yes. And it's, but in the end, you might get drunk. That's besides the point. Where on my in-laws' side, it's Coors and Bud, right? And then you go over their house and you're gonna drink the basic. You won't get Franzi, but you're gonna get Sutter Home and a lot of the basic wines that everybody gets that all taste like the same. They're almost bland in comparison to what they do. They're really doing it as a social aspect. It's not really about the presentation, the drinking and sitting around with the beer. It's just socializing. And when you're socializing, you just drink. That's just how we work in our society. So they got a beer in their hand at all times and they're getting drunk slowly or fast, depending on who you are. Where with these type of beers, you can take your time with them. If you want to drink three, you want to drink four, you can. You want to drink one, you can, but everybody's going to get the same experience if they put it in the glass and they get all the dimensions of the beer. Because this is what the guys put the time into.
It's sort of funny. I mean, my dad has been drinking beer his whole life. And when he comes up to stay with me or whatever, his, you know, beers of choice tend to be things like, what is it, Busch Light or whatever? Does that even still exist?
Yes, it does.
it still exists.
I haven't.
Yes, it does.
Or like, you know, I grew up and he always drank
Miller. It still exists in 36 packs.
And is doing well.
So he always drank like Miller and that kind of thing. So these days, like his idea of a good beer and what he, you know, about the limit of what he likes is something like a...
Select?
No, like a Heineken or maybe a Sam Adams, something like that. So, you know, like I tried to give him a Guinness at one point. He was like, wow, you got something to thin us out with? Because he didn't find it, you know, like he likes beer to be a little bit refreshing, that kind of thing. So, he doesn't like the stronger flavors.
But you know what? I almost had a heart attack, and I felt like I actually felt uncomfortable from this affair. But 2 weeks ago, we were at the day after I got back from Germany. I went to a graduation party, and this lady was there. It's like one of the graduations my cousin-in-law, I guess. I don't know what the hell she'd be, but her friend's mother was there. They poured out some at her home red wine, so I was already like, eh. They're like, oh, you want some? I'm like, yeah, I guess. Like, I don't want to be that snobby to say, well, it's not a good red wine, right? So I'm just like, yeah, Cabernet, whatever. So they, or Merlot, I don't even know what the fuck it was. It was red. That all tastes the same to me. And so they poured in the glass. I'm fine. No problem. I got my glass. Now, the host was nice and kept that at room temperature. It was perfect temperature. Then this lady, she pours the wine. She pours the wine into a wine glass. Then she proceeds, red wine. Then she proceeds to fill the wine glass to the top with ice. So now you've got what looks to be a fruit cocktail, right? Because it was like half full. Then you pack it with ice. Now it's like right on the brim, which is already wrong. And then, we're not done. Then she takes a straw, cuts the straw in half, puts it in, and starts sipping it out of the straw. So I was just looking at her. She's like, yeah, I know. This isn't right. I'm like, I don't even know who she is, but I managed to just like stare down like, no, you're doing it wrong. Like that's nothing you're doing is nearly what you're supposed to be doing. She's like, well, I don't like warm wine and then it stains my teeth red. So I use the straw. I'm like, what is going on? Am I in the fucking Twilight Zone? It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, I didn't have the heart to say like, that's just not cool.
You know,
you should have though. You should have been more honest.
If they want to drink it through a funnel, then like so be it. You know what I mean?
But it's red wine. Why do you bother? Why not just drink like vodka and cranberry juice?
Well, that's the thing. It kind of comes down to the fact where, you know, if somebody only drinks Coors Light, look, you don't like beer. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Then why are you drinking it? Because you think you're drinking beer?
Well, here's the thing, though. As a beer drinker, I will say that there's a time and place for Coors.
Oh, I agree.
There is technically, and I'm a huge fan, there is a time and place for Pabst. I fucking love Pabst. And it generally, you know, follows liquor wonderfully.
Yeah,
you
but know, it's Pabst.
So I'm, yeah, exactly. I'm just saying that there's a time and place for all
now,
beers.
Now, I'm not going to push. Now, here's the deal. Okay, with Budweiser, Pabst Blue Ribbon, Keystone, Coors, any of these beers, they have been around 7 to 10 times longer than I've been alive, right? These people have founded an entire culture. Our entire country was brought up on this stuff, like, from the beginning. And that's cool. Like, but the thing is, they've changed. People's palates have, or not necessarily their palates, but I guess so. Like, we've gone from very heavy, spicy, thick, dense, hoppy beer to bland English style, like just nothing, no flavor, nothing. To like imports, only imports of specific flavors. Ooh, whoa. To malts, back to the spicy, heavy, hoppy stuff. But throughout that lifespan, Budweiser and them have always survived on their consistency, and they said, look, we're not fucking changing anything. This is what we're going to do. And they live, and they always survive. So, I mean, you can only put them down so much. But you know what? Nobody can ruin a Budweiser. When you take wine and you go against all the way it's supposed to be presented and drank the way the bottler intended it to be, that's where I get a little like, huh? That's just weird to me.
Unless you're talking about like major vineyard. You know, the vintners are doing something more artistic than Budweiser. But at the same time, it's absolutely amazing how consistent the Budweiser taste is everywhere.
That is why they're still around.
It's phenomenal.
That's actually harder to do than anything else in the brewing process.
Exactly.
In mass
and
market.
So the fact that they do what they do, talk to anybody that has tried brewing or has brewed their own beer. It's much respect to Budweiser, but you know, it's not my beer, but at the same time.
But to do what they do is actually like a microbrew, a successful microbrew cannot expand.
It's horribly difficult to do.
Right.
And nobody would be able to do it.
Once you expand to the size of the vats and everything that you need to build a multi-billion dollar company like that, the entire chemistry of how you go about brewing beer changes. And the chemicals and the bacteria that can attack it and the amount that you can lose is phenomenal. Yep. But they managed to strictly keep it the same since the 1800s.
Sorry.
So yep. That is a huge thing. But I've never seen anybody really drink a Bud and have to look at them and go, you're not doing it right. Like, because it's so obvious. It comes in a can. Crack it open. Drink it. You want it in a cup? That's fine, too. Fucking put it in a cozy. Doesn't matter. But with other alcohols, wines, vodkas, and whatever, there's a way that they typically were meant to be consumed. And when you just go above and beyond breaking it, it's like, why not just have something else? Why,
well,
are you just doing it to fit in with everybody else?
Wasn't Budweiser made so that you could drink it with Spuds McKenzie?
No.
Just me?
Yeah.
Spuds?
I try not to drink when I'm around pit bulls. That's just me.
Yeah, because you don't want to do anything stupid.
I think you should start.
Well, and then poke it with a stick and see what happens.
It could be a new online sport.
Michael Vicks might bet on you. You never know.
So, okay, now that we've covered the glasses, and I tend to follow a little more traditional only because it's fun. But you know what? Here's the last thing about the glasses. If I have a large party, and by large I mean 10 plus people, even 6 plus people, I'm probably just going to get all the glasses out and pour the beers. I don't really care about what goes where. It's just like I need places to house the liquids. And a lot of people, yeah. And you know what? And if you're listening and you're like, you have people over for drinks, it's amazing how they react differently when you take their beer and you give it to them in a glass as opposed to just giving them beer. People, for some reason, they think that you're treating them better, more upper class, by pouring their beer into a glass. Because most people are. But to me, it's natural. But you can get a cool reaction especially if they're people you don't know. You just bring them over, pour it into a big, just get some Pilsner glasses. You know, you can get them down at like Macy's or any major, like anywhere you can buy clothing, really. I think they have these, like the Crystal area. You can get a good set of a box of Pilsner glasses for cheap. Get a couple of those. Pour beers out, give them to them, and people will just look at you like, whoa, cool. Like, it's completely different. It's something they never thought would happen, rather than just throwing them a glass or throwing them a bottle and be like, hey, here you go. So that's just a tip if you want to just impress people with very little effort, if you will. Now,
or you can go my route and get glasses where you could actually like maim someone with them.
Or pickle jars.
Or pickle jars. Actually, I grew up with, you know what we used to use for cups? Where margarine used to come in these like plastic things that had a little handle on them. We used to use a combination of those and jelly jars. Yeah.
I think I did that once.
Yeah, we were, what's the word? Poor.
Poor. So. but you know what? It's a reusable. Why would you throw it away?
Exactly. Wash it out and hey.
So I want to know a little bit about your beers. What do you, well, who's at the top here? Doug.
Derek.
Now listen, you have a Red Hook, right? Longhammer IPA. Now, is that the one that has the red and white checkered logo? Blue? Is there blue?
No, it's actually green and blue.
Green and blue? I'm thinking of Hibernium. I have noticed, and maybe it's just me, but is Red Hook IPA not the de facto standard for going to a party? Like, you can go no wrong by bringing... I mean, besides, obviously, Bud and Coors. It seems like everybody has... Even if they bring Bud and Coors, like if you're hosting a party and you want the micro brews and then you want the massive mass market brews and you want a micro brews, people always go with Red Hook IPA. Is it
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's not. I don't know what. I don't know if it's Longhammer, but it's always Red Hook.
Really?
Yeah. And it's everywhere.
I see a lot of Harpoon around here.
Yeah.
Actually,
Harpoon is a big one. Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Red Hook, Harpoon. Those two are the biggest. I think both of them probably top Sam Adams at this point for just get-togethers where you go over somebody's house. And I'm a drinker, so I look around just to see what people are drinking, curiosity-wise, to see if there's anything, any type of content for the show or something new to try or what is the latest trend. And it seems, and I'm again with Dave, that's another big one, is the Harpoon is huge. Like, there's always got the H everywhere on everything. That's how you know, too.
Really?
You see the bottle caps, like, sitting on the ground or on the table, and they always got the big H on them. That seems to be the new trend. Or maybe it's just me or the places I happen to go. But even at college places and college parties, they always had that type of stuff. And I don't know. I think it's, is there something about it that kind of fits a broader demographic?
Like, what do you? Well, hopefully the broader demographic is getting better at drinking beer.
I think they are. Honestly, I think they are. I think a lot, you know why? Because you see a lot more major mass market people trying to, like Budweiser, who else is doing it? Michelob, which I think is the same company, trying to do the classic series and the new style ales and other things that have hops in them. Not a lot of hop, but hops in general. Mm-hmm. It's like the big guys are trying to tap into the market of flavor, not really going too deep because they don't want to throw off their mass market a lot, but they're tempting fate, if you will. And I wonder if it's because of this type of stuff where people are like, you know what? I want a beer with flavor. And it happens throughout history. After reading some of these books, it's like there's a trend where it's almost like the stock market. Things go up and down. People like hops and they like potent beers, and then they don't, and then they do again, and then they don't. It's like a trend that just, it's either on or off. So I think we're heading to where people are ready to accept hops into their life.
Honestly, I think that we're, if not, then damn fucking close to a golden age in American beer drinking and in beer making, just because there are so many states that had an alcohol tap or cap on.
I think it's just Utah now.
It was North Carolina as well until just like a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
But there are so many people making. God damn it. I can't talk. I give.
Hey, I'm working on a 750 mil here, so.
So yours is 750? All right.
Well, you finish it.
So wait, Doug, tell me, what do you think of the Long Hammer IPA? What is your opinion
of that? Sweet berry wine.
Not a good answer. Fail.
You're supposed to spit it out. No way, Jose.
So is it hoppy? Is it malty? Is it intense? Is it overbearing? Well balanced?
It starts with an L. Seriously.
Love?
It has an O-N-G. Long. Hammer time.
Oh my god.
Wait. It gets better. Wait for it. India.
How much have you had?
Five.
No way.
No, three.
Okay. You should be fine, though.
Maybe two.
Okay.
How many what?
How many beers?
India Pale Ale. Red Hook. Liquid goodness since 1982.
You're not gonna give me anything productive here, are you?
Define productive.
What does it taste like?
It smells like hops.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Do you want me to taste it too?
I would. Well, yeah. A little of all the dimensions would be nice.
Hold on. It's hoppy.
Is it overly?
Well,
for the standard drinker, like somebody who might drink a Sam Adams, for instance.
I really wish I could place a hop that's in this beer, but I can't. It's
Cascade.
No, it's not Cascade.
It's the only one I can think of. Sorry.
Yeah, well, if I was drinking Sierra Nevada, I would be like, oh, it's Cascade, and everybody like, yeah, it's Cascade.
Everybody would know.
But no, this is, it's more like a noble hop. I want to say Saaz, but
so is it like is it bitter?
I don't know if that's accurate.
Mm-mm. Like, does it get you in the side of the throat?
It's a nice balance between the floral hop and the bitter hop, which is why I'm thinking it's probably a noble hop like Saaz.
So you get a little of the aroma, and you're not just getting like a hopped over hopped beer. You're getting something that's a little on all the sides.
Yeah, it's it has a nice smell to it, but again.
Did you just pass out?
No, Dave did.
Oh. Hey, no, Dave. Sure.
Yeah.
Since you have two here, what is your Coopers Brewery Sparkling Ale? I want to know about the sparkling part.
I want to taste that, actually.
You know, it's weird. Like I said, it's still got all that kind of hanging sediment going on.
Does just sit there and sedimentize?
I remember having this in Sydney or something, or wherever it was, and it being really good, but this, it's not. I mean, it's okay.
I remember it being really good, but this, it's not.
Looking at, like, the bottom of the glass. I mean, I'm used to sediment in beers, and that's okay. But this has actually got like a thick, dark smear in the bottom of the glass now.
Ooh, that's weird.
It's really weird. And like I said, the particulate matter is really big. It's kind of bitter on the aftertaste, but not in a good bitter way. It just kind of, it's one of those like, dah, kind of beers.
They get you right in the, it's like somebody just punched you like Karate Kid right in the throat.
Not quite that.
Like sweep the leg, Johnny? No?
It looks like it's going to be a lot lighter than it is, but it's, eh.
So, wait.
I don't know if this is just a side effect of the import and sitting around process or what, but, oh, you know what might be part of it? Let's see, best after 626.08. Oh, best after. So, well, it is after that.
It is. So there's no best after. Is it? Wait, that doesn't make any sense. So anytime after that date, it's going to be awesome. 10 right. years from now, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't get that.
When did you buy that?
Like last week.
Really?
Really.
Did you buy it aged on purpose?
No, not really. I didn't really look that closely. I was just so surprised they had it that I picked it up. You don't see a lot of Australian beers around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, that's the problem with that, though, is it? Let's say that was your first. Now, you said you had this before. It was good. Say that's your first experience. If you went there, you might not. You obviously wouldn't buy that again here, but you might not buy that again anywhere. That's the downfall of a bad import or something that's just. You know what? That could just be the fault of the owner of the place, the establishment you bought it, should have probably pulled it by now.
Right. And
or they, you know what they could have done? They could do stupid things. Like they could leave the thing in the sun. They could keep, you know, they could drastic temperature changes really quick, like from trucks to shipping to maybe they put it in the back and they brought it in the front. Maybe they put it in the refrigerator and they took it out.
When I was drinking it in Australia, it was on draft. You know,
yeah, you never go wrong with that.
It's an entirely different beast.
Which you could say about Guinness too.
If I could recommend this.
Well, that's
and it may just be a side effect of the, you know, the fact that it's a little bit old, but still, it's just not that great.
You follow the instructions. You use it after the date, so it should be perfect. That should be exactly what everybody expects.
So in 2017, it's going to be awesome.
It is. Maybe it's because it's summer over there, and it aged as it came over to the wintertime.
I did notice as you pour it in the glass, it goes the counterclockwise, though. So
that's cool. So the head comes out first, and then the rest of the beer falls in. That's awesome. You know, I've been trying this Julius Echter stuff. I make it sound like it's just an experimental beer. This is a pretty. It's kind of got a golden, cloudy hue to it. This is a Dave beer. I mean, this is. Mm-hmm. A Bavarian, which is, you think about like Bavarian style ales. If this was a Pilsner, it would be Bud, because Bud is a Bavarian recipe, but obviously different. It's a huge bottle. Let me see the size. It's a pint, 500 milliliters, 9 fluid ounces. So it's bigger than your normal ones. It says best before end. Oh, so it's best before. Whoa, yeah, best before. I'm gonna guess July of 2008. So. You know, remember that. But it's really good.
I guess some beers age better than others, huh?
Yeah, it's got your classic weedy smell to it.
I remember the Echter being a fairly sweet one as well.
Mm. It's sweet, but not like sickly, ugly, gross sweet. It's not like candy sweet, but it is. It's definitely, I would say it's sweeter than weedier. Wait, no, that makes sense. It's more sweet than a Blue Moon, but smoother. Like Blue Moon is kind of like your catch-all. Everybody's gonna like it. This is a little higher end. I think it's gonna run you a little more money. I don't know. I guess this is a gift, but it's got all the right properties. It's got a great lacing, nice bright white head, good sweet flavors. It's a great classic staple wheat beer. Now, right. I think that's a good goal to have.
It's a good goal to have to suck.
If you like wheat beers, there's always that.
Huh?
It's you got to like wheat beers. Doggy, on the other hand, I think Doug would like this.
Yeah, I mean, no, to be honest, there are definitely others that, you know, Weiss beers that are better, you know, but Echter's fairly solid.
It's like one of those, if this was your first experience and you're looking for a Weiss beer, a wheat beer, a white beer, whatever you want to call it, you can try a mass market brew like Sam Adams White Ale, which is going to be pretty good. You can try the Blue Moon, which is going to be pretty good. I think this is a little better because that's their thing. This is what they do. They're not another company just trying to make a recipe, which I'm not saying Blue Moon is, but I know Sam Adams is. They just happen to do a lot of good ones. This is a good experience into what a wheat beer should be. If there was a bar, this would be right in the middle, and you can get better, but you can get a whole lot worse. So, I mean, it's not a bad a bad way of judging things, using that as a standard. The Ipswich Ale now, this is also kind of cloudy. But I'm not quite sure if that's... I'm looking for... There's no born-on date. They don't do anything cool like that. But it does... You can recycle the bottle in Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, New York for 5 cents. this beer is hoppy, but not as hoppy as their IPA, oddly enough. It's ale hoppy.
Really?
Yeah.
Meh.
You could smell like a very floral scent on the nose, which is very... It tastes like a classic beer. I almost... From the smell, I would think it's a little darker than it really is. But it's more of a gold, where the Julius Echter is like a piss yellow. This is more like a bladder infection gold, if I can go with that standard.
Again, a great one for their marketing.
Yes.
Looks like a bladder infection.
It's got a quick lacing.
It only hurts like if you are peeing rice.
Right. It's got a quick lacing, though. Like, if you move it around the glass, the lace falls kind of quickly. Nice white head, again, like the other one. A little more golden, not as white. But it doesn't
burn like it's chlamydia.
Correct. Yeah. It doesn't burn like chlamydia. I would say if you want to be introduced to hops for the first time.
But if you're drinking Aristocrat vodka, it does burn like chlamydia.
Right.
All right.
Exactly. I'm not going to say the first introduction to hops. That might be overkill. If you want your first introduction to hops, you should go try one of the Budweiser collectors, masters, brewers, whatever they're calling their ale. That's
they're using Cascade.
Yeah.
Not Challenger, but Challenger is such a better hop.
Well, whatever that beer is called, that beer is going to give you a little introduction.
The American Ale.
American Ale, that's what it is. That'll give you, if you can take that, this is the next progression up. It's got a little more hoppiness, a little more alcohol taste to it, you know what the other thing is? The hops stay with you for a couple minutes. So you're going to have a little hoppy aftertaste. Not a lot of malts, not a lot of sweetness. I would say it's actually kind of just a slightly hopped ale. And you can get a lot worse. If you get their IPA, that's when you start to get the little bite in the back of the tongue. Not too bad. I think it's a pretty well balanced ale. I would have thought worse. Like, it doesn't, it's got more hops than a Sam Adams. A Sam Adams ale doesn't really have that much, in my opinion. It's very drinkable. This is drinkable, and when I call drinkable, for some reason, people have a problem with hops. They don't have a problem with malts. We can see that from a Colt 45, right? So if you're looking at a scale, the scale of malting can be anywhere from Colt 45, Guinness, oatmeal stout, all the way up to nothing, to very little malt. Or brown ale, there's a good one, right? This doesn't have any of those properties. It's more fresh, crisp, and slight slight hoppy taste, but tasty. What is this Delirium there, Dave? What is that got going for besides massive alcohol?
It's got massive alcohol, which is helping quite a lot. But I'm thinking more and more as I drink this. This is exactly the kind of beer Doug would hate. And the reason is it's darker, which is kind of cool, but it definitely still has that Euro skunk to it.
I fucking hate that.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
So what? How do you define the Euro skunk, Dave? Because you don't seem to hate it.
The taste that comes through with it is sour.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you smell the beer, like normally a beer doesn't have this component to it, but it's a very faint hint of mold.
Okay.
Or I've heard some people refer to it as like a plasticky kind of smell.
Like a burning plastic or just regular plastic?
No, just a regular old plastic.
Okay. Because burning plastic would be bad.
Right. And it's just, it's the nature of what they use for their malts. The weird thing about this, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
What, you think it's the hops or?
I honestly have no idea what it is.
He just calls it Euro Skunk.
If I did, I would send a letter to every fucking European brewer and say, just don't do blah. Just don't do it.
Well, the interesting thing about what it does is
use MSG. it works for the Chinese, and they make great fast food, and they don't even
Chinese
know it
right now.
I had Chinese food tonight, actually.
I actually made Korean food, so.
Oh, I didn't make anything. I bought it.
So the cool thing about this, though, is that if you think about bitter, or you think about sweet, or you think about sour, all of those components exist in it.
But do they do it well?
It's kind of interesting. It's a complex flavor. And the thing about it, though, is that if you take a huge mouthful of it and swallow it down, you only get the sour.
Okay, right.
And it really hits you, and you kind of get, like, it's like a gah kind of taste. It's not good.
Well, the sweets are on the front of the palate, so you got to savor it like.
Exactly. More. This is very much a sipping beer. And I'm looking outside right now, and it's snowing again.
Yep.
Oh, see, that's what I'm waiting for. We're supposed to get like 5 inches, which is like unheard of in North Carolina. Ooh, so
you're going to be at a standstill. We're going to get, what is it, Dave?
It's like a foot or 15 inches or something.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
By the morning time. That's just the morning.
It's going to be pretty heavy overnight.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that. So how does that pair with your beer?
Drinking a pretty complicated beer, it kind of works out okay. You know, I'm glad I'm inside, but, you know.
It's a mood beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I definitely give the nod to their other one, which is Delirium Tremon. It's a way better beer. But this is, it's interesting. I like the complexity of the flavor to it. It's not something I'd want to drink a lot of. I mean, that being said, I'm drinking
a lot of it.
It's almost 2 pints, I guess, in one of these bottles, right?
Jesus. That's pretty cool. So that's a big bottle.
8.5% alcohol, it's definitely a lot. But it's pretty good.
Mine's only one
pint. Started talking to me yet, so.
Yeah, mine's only 1 pint. That's a big bottle. Now, did you only get one?
I'm saying. I only got one, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get a case?
No. A lot of the Belgians, they actually sell them this way.
Yeah. You know what, though? When you go in and look for some of these beers that are like way off the wall, did you notice the amount of dust that grows on them?
You got to be really careful. Yeah.
It's exponential. It's unfortunate, but it is so the state of affairs with beer drinking in America, those beers that are not widely known will have the dust. Yeah, they'll fucking collect dust and it'll be like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm about to drink a beer that I pulled off a shelf that has like 3 inches of dust on it. No. It's okay.
Right. And you wonder why the Sam Smiths are always bad.
It's aged.
It's
which is why I usually tend to drink Hoegaarden.
Right. You never see dust on that.
They're always in stock. You know, it's fairly popular beer, and
it moves.
Well, it's not the best Belgian. I can usually get a better quality one of those because it's fresher. You know.
Right. It's like
it's like rolling the dice with some of the other ones.
You never see any dust on a Foster's, but when it comes down to one of these beers, you're like, oh, I don't know, man. And same thing with any of the ones that are from England. You go in and they got all these cool labels. And England, you know what the other one is? Canada. A lot of the big-ass Canadian beers, they had the same problem. They're just like black with dust, and you're like, what the hell is going on? How
you
does
know
this
what it
happen?
Is? If you see it in a cooler, it has a much higher probability of being popular.
That's
Molson,
right.
Molson Triple X. All right.
Yeah, and if it's not in a cooler, but it comes in a 30-pack, then that's different because it couldn't fit in the cooler.
Yeah, but like it's the onesie, twosie, you know, 4-packs, whatever, that kind of stuff that you never see in the coolers. Those are the ones you got to be a little bit scared of because you don't know how old it is.
I mean, I don't understand, like, because like a Dogfish Head comes in a 4-pack, like some of them. Yep. I think they all come in a 4-pack, but I know a bunch of them do. They move. They put them right on the corner of the aisle, and there's always movement on the Dogfish Head. I'm wondering how much of it just comes down to marketing and domestic compared to the imports, where we don't. It's almost like if we don't know what it is, we won't buy it. Yet if somebody tells us that something's cool, like a Dogfish Head, that came out of nowhere. Like I had never saw that, and then like 5 years ago, it's like, oh, did you have a Dogfish Head? Oh, you got to try this, and it was like viral almost. And it's everywhere.
The thing about that, though, is it's so easy to get wrapped up into, you know, esoteric domestic beer versus esoteric foreign beer because there are so many, and then there's such a lot. There's a huge gap.
In what?
Boy, fuck off. There's a huge lack of understanding between the common American beer drinker and those beers that are being produced in Eastern and Western Europe that are slowly being imported into the U.S. and those brave souls, you know, willing to go out and try those beers that nobody else has. It's fucking crapshot.
But so how is it that they don't market it enough? Like, are they not saying, well, this is, you got to try our beer. This is what we're doing. They just throw it over here and hope we drink it, because we're not going to do that. There's people like us that'll look around for the things with the weirdest labels or whatnot. But it doesn't take long for these things to collect dust. And not to mention, the more they sit, the longer the chances are that the vendor that's carrying these things is not handling them correctly. Like, they're moving them around, they're shuffling all over the place, they're changing the temperatures.
You're right. It comes down to drinkers like us, where we're doing a fucking Belgian podcast. So I'm like, fuck. Right. So I go out and get a handful of Belgians, and then I stumble upon Valdu Brown. The fucking Valdu Brown is by far the best fucking brown Belgian that you can buy in this country.
But nobody's going to know unless we can spread the word.
Exactly.
And that, well, I don't know if we're big enough for that.
Actually, we can move entire nations.
We're huge, but I mean, we're big, but buy, I mean, gold. We're not like big. So, I mean, we can say this is what you should buy, and we will make trends. By God, we will. But what, the fact of the matter is this. A good brand beer, unless Doug goes out and tells the world, how are people going to know that they have to experiment? And you, Doug, wouldn't have done it yourself if you didn't have the, in this case, the legal requirements to get here. Go buy this or you don't show up to our show because you'd be a cornhole. And you're like, ah, yes, sir. You went out, you bought the shit, you came back, you committed, you had the passion, you had the integrity, you hustled, you got what you needed, and there you go. You taste it and you're like, this is awesome. But that's a huge amount of motivation for that specific cause. You need to talk about somebody who just goes to the store. They're like, oh, it's Sunday. There's a football game on. I want to go grab some beer. I want to try something different. They're going to walk into a mirage, just a massive amounts of beers, all kinds of labels and colors, all different brands. They're probably going to lean towards something they've heard of. It's not going to be that beer.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at like this bottle that I'm drinking was like $9. You know, it's kind of a risk to go in and drop $9 on a beer that you may hate.
Right.
You know?
And I've done that. I've done that with certain Canadian beers. Right. And once you've done it once, you're like, I don't want to do that.
I have dropped $150 on a Belgian bar tab where I had hated every fucking beer except one. So there.
Yeah, but you had a good time hating it, like, to get to the point, right?
No, actually, I did not have a good time hating it. I had an awful time hating it. It was, this beer sucks. Fuck. All right, let's try another one. God damn it. This one sucks too. And then it was like that upon that upon that upon that upon that. And that one too.
Yeah. See, I think that there's a lot of good beers, but in this case, it takes a certain person that has a general tastes. Like, let's say you didn't like any of those, but there's other people obviously who do, or else it wouldn't be popular. But the beer that you do like has to be a beer that the way you like it happens to be general to a larger audience. Like, there are people that rate wines and rate beers and go through this. They could taste a beer, and if they taste it and they like it, a large group of people also like it because they have the same type of, they have a common palate, or if you want to call it that. So I think in your case, if you like a wheat beer, then a large group of people are going to like that same wheat beer because you dislike so many that when you do get one you like, it's not just a fluke. It's probably a good beer that a larger group of people might like. Where Dave probably drinks them all. He could probably go on that same drinking binge and walk away with a smile on his face going, that was better than sex with three prostitutes.
I don't call them binges. I call them exploratory.
Exploratory.
I get nothing. But
yeah, he's like the Indiana Jones of Belgians. It's like the Belgian crystal skull, right?
The Indiana Jones of Belgians is probably just a big, like, kind of pussy that runs away when he's a snake. So.
Well, I guess I'm on. I'm right in the right place, and I called.
Oh
it.
My god, a snake! Run.
I see your point there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What was the point?
That Dave probably has. If Dave likes a Belgian ale, that doesn't necessarily mean a broad audience will like it because he likes Belgian ales a lot. If you like one with such a fine tooth. Tongue of selection where you're like, this is the only one out of these 100 that's good, there's a good chance that more people besides you are going to like it. Dave's too general because he just likes that style, so it's kind of hard to go wrong, I think. Although, so far, you haven't really told me that you liked too many of the ones you have. So, out of the beers...
Actually, Dave hates all beer.
Yeah, Dave's a beer hater.
Yeah, I actually don't drink alcohol at all. I've been faking it the whole time.
He's actually drinking Kool-Aid.
Right.
Best faker ever.
I'm a big fan of the grape drink.
Yeah, grape drink. Yes, I love grape drink. It's like the little frozen popsicles.
Yeah, so, not shoes. Drink. They're different.
Right. Totally. So, Doug, you liked your beer, right? Did you fall asleep? Yeah, you did. Okay. And Dave, out of the two you got, would you buy either of those again?
I might do the Nocturnum, but I don't know. There's other Belgians that I would prefer over it, so.
Yeah.
Including its like brother beer.
I would say for the Julius Echter, I don't drink a lot of wheat beer, but I wouldn't be afraid if somebody offered me one, I would. And if I was looking for a wheat beer, I might pick this up. If I'm a big fan of buying something I've never had before, so it's kind of different for me, but I would say that this is a good beer for a general audience. The Ipswich Ale. Also good if you don't mind a little hop, not too much, but just enough. So I think that's good. So maybe Dave struck out on one, but you know that's not.
Yeah,
too
I would
bad.
Stay away from the old Australian ones.
Yeah, that's true. You always watch your beer dates. I guess that's another good lesson to learn. Mine were both free, so I both were bought by people who enjoyed my company or something. I don't know. One I bought for training. An organization, they bought me a six-pack or a case of Ipswich. The other one was for fixing Vista. So mine are all free drinks tonight. These are on other people. So it's hard to hate on the free drinks. But again, because they're free and I'm running a podcast, I have no problem hating on them. I just can't. They were definitely well-established beers. So you got that going for you.
So at some point, we're probably going to get sponsored by like Budweiser or something. We'll be coming in going, we love Budweiser. It is our favorite beer.
We wanted to do Budweiser tonight, but instead we're doing Brandy. Oh, actually,
wanted to be Marble. But instead,
yeah, the Scotch one is going to be interesting.
Yeah. So, so next week, hopefully Kate will be here. And let's see, Dave's going to do some Johnny Walker Black Label, Craganmore, Glenlivet. I'm going to do Shiva's Regal Premium Blended Scotch, Glenlivet.
What?
What? Is that not what?
Really? Shiva's?
Shivas, yes. Dewars, White Label, and Dalmore.
Dewars.
Yeah, Dewars, White Label, and Dalmore Single Highland Malt. And I don't know what Kate or Dog are going to do, but what are you going to be doing?
Probably Dalwhinnie and something else.
Sweet. So we'll have the scotches ready. Now, we want to make sure, again, to save it for Kate, because me and Dave, it should be interesting. I don't know.
You're just going
to
hear us in the background going, oh!
How is it? This stuff is awesome. Splat, splat, splat. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Should you guys want to wrap this up?
Yeah.
All right.
Well.
All right. This is Derek. We're gonna wrap it up tonight because I think we did pretty good. We kind of pulled it together. We found ourselves some crazy ass beers to do, touched on a little of something different. Maybe eventually we'll do a full IPA episode. I know we've already done a Belgian episode and Hefeweizen. Well, I kind of roll that into the Belgian, I think.
And how about expired beers? That'd be a good one.
Like you said, maybe we'll do something where people brought something over and we hated it and we're going to do it live on the show. That's the stupidest idea ever, so I think we should totally do that. That would by far trump the liqueur episode where we just all drank like 40 different liqueurs all in one sitting.
I don't think anything will ever trump the liqueur episode.
Wait, what are we doing on purpose?
We're drinking stuff we hate or drinking stuff that somebody brought over that we didn't like. Silence.
Doesn't everybody have like something either in the back of the fridge or in the basement or a closet somewhere that somebody brought over to drink or to give as a gift, and you just you look at it every once in a while and you go, ugh.
Franzia?
That's gone, thankfully.
Did you throw it out?
No. I found a
donor.
Donor, yeah.
Nice.
Who I think is converting it to sangria or something. But,
yeah, that's common. It's always nice to recycle your drinks and have somebody else benefit. It's like it's almost like, why would I donate to poverty, some impoverished country like Africa, when I could donate my alcohol to others for benefits, you know, for $1 a day? Anyway, this is Derek for Dave and Doug and our podcast producer, Luke Lydahl.
Luke.
You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. Check us out at everydaydrinkers.com. And you can check out.
Buzzed.
You don't feel buzzed? You need to drink more. You are totally buzzed. what am I saying? If not, you just got retarded on us. you can also check us out on everydaydrinkers.tv. You guys go to everydaydrinkers.tv. It's cool. It's cool out there. I just did a Tootsie Roll shooter recipe for tonight, and there's more to come. We do 3 episodes a week. That's our show, people. That's our show.
Sweet.
Have a good night. It out. We can work it out. Yeah. Oh, I got floaties. Oh, shit. I remember I drove a knife through my foot a couple last year. So I.
Oh, that's right. You dropped it on your foot.
Right in the web of the big toe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It
you got
is
nine more toes. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
How do you do that to yourself?
Well, it was easy. See, what I had is, well, it's not. It is easy. So I was cutting a turkey, right?
And no, wait. It wasn't. Well. Actually, well, yeah, it was easy.
Yeah, see what happens? I'm cutting the turkey, so I had one plate, but I transferred it to another plate, and I had the knife lying across a plate, and somehow the knife handle was kind of on the outside, and I must have hit the plate, so it tipped up a little, and the knife just slid off the plate, and then gravity took its way down to the floor and jammed into the wood, thong, right into the wood, and my foot was pinned under it, so... I tried moving it out, but you know what? When it didn't move, like when the knife came down, my foot was just kind of stuck there. I just missed it by a hair. You know what? It was probably good that I had the reflexes I did, or probably went right in the meat of the foot, which would have sucked so bad, dude. The webbing isn't so bad. Like it stopped bleeding after about 10 minutes, so I didn't go to the hospital, and then I just got some shots the next day and some the kill off the bacteria and stuff that kind of get stuck in the wound, but it wasn't too bad.
you mean they put some hydrogen peroxide and some iodine on it?
Iodine, exactly. A little iodine, a little screaming on my part. But no, they were like, oh, okay. So I'm like, well, it's not bleeding. So I figured, you know, I'm not a real big person when it comes to the doctor. I just don't like to go. It's such a pain in the ass. And you got to get in the car. And my kids
were
sleeping.
Plus, apparently, you're on the bite on a stick health plan.
Well.
Here, this is going to hurt a lot. Bite down on a stick.
Yeah, it was pretty much. Well,
no, seriously. It's going to hurt.
It is.
Bite down on this.
You want a shot of whiskey first?
Well, it was like, you know, my kids are in bed. It stopped bleeding. I can't. I don't want to drive myself to the hospital.
Drink this pint of rum. It'll
so
make it feel better.
I just let it. I just it throbbed and hurt for a couple hours, but then it stopped. I figured if it really got painful, or if it didn't, obviously if it didn't stop bleeding, maybe it all started when I stepped on that nail. Remember that, Doug? And it bled for like 6 hours, and then my dad brought me to the hospital.
No, I recall that night vividly.
Yeah, so
it was. I think it was one of the last nights that I actually played Street Fighter.
Yeah, that was a bad
and
time.
And wanted to win.
Yeah, bad time. When you're playing Street Fighter, you really want to win, and then you kind of, when you lose, you just jump up and you know, kick your feet a few times, and I landed on a nail. But the end result was bloody. But this time,
it was a screw. It really wasn't a nail.
No, it was a screw.
It was a screw. Yeah.
It was a rusty screw. But
it was nasty.
Yeah. So I've learned about where I need to go when I need to go to the hospital. If it stops bleeding, I know what I did. This is ultra geeky. So what I did is I'm sitting on the couch bleeding everywhere, and I tightened it up, and I kind of like put some pressure on it. And then I went out to Google and I started searching for, like, you know, how long do you wait before going to the doctor and bleeding?
So how was the lockjaw exactly?
Well, it was all good. And I used the internet, and it was like, listen, if it stops after 10 minutes, it's not going to continue to bleed, then you'll be safe and you can go to the doctor the next day. So I did that. Hey, man, I used the internet. This is the new age. But that's,
everything you find on
TMJ is only it's inevitable.
I've had TMJ. It doesn't hurt that bad. You just take some. You know what you do to unlock the jaw? Oddly enough, is stop consuming sugars and caffeines for a couple days, and it goes right away. It's awesome. But that's besides the point.
Now, this is the thing that happened post truck stop, right?
No, I don't remember. I think this was. I don't know why that happened. It was a long time ago. But besides the point. Hold on, I got a message from Doug, I think. What the heck? Oh, God, he's already started the macro chan. What the fuck? All right. So, what I was about to say is... Hold on here, watch this. Isn't that cool?
What the hell is that?
Somebody just transformed.
Isn't that cool? That's my sound effects box. Actually, it's just a Transformer toy.
pretty high budget.
Transform.
See? Isn't that cool?
Nice.
It's random, though, yeah. So I just got lucky on that one. It could have been like...
I am Optimus Prime.
See, I have no idea what I was going to say. It just happened. It's completely random. It's like I want to use it on comedy and cocktails. I just don't know what it's going to say. It's like your cousin when he gets drunk and you're like, I don't know what he's going to say.
I am Optimus Prime.
You can say it again, too. You never know.
Yeah, but he won't.
No, see? Anyway.
You transform.
This grape juice is healthy. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh, somebody Hold just on. Ate their mic.
Hold on.
It's like he was just sitting there. He's like, I'm uncomfortable now. I gotta move. let me stop recording this. Do, do,